Hey, Davis.
He said, I mean, I'm
joking.
It's like, I get.
Well, we got time there. Everyone's talking.
I just won't say anything crazy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. For real. That's okay.
Oh, those are nifty shoes. They like. What's up, Claire?
Okay, I gotta spend this real quick and then I'm gonna.
I'll be here. Whenever you're ready.
I'll go.
No, whenever you're ready.
No.
I'm what?
Here you are. What did you say earlier to him?
I haven't said anything to him, Claire. I can't get near him.
What do you think about him being in the show?
Well, I think it's great. I've really enjoyed watching, obviously I like to watch IndyCar racing, but, yeah, it's been really cool to see his success. I feel like as I've, in my time when I started to pay more attention to IndyCar, you know, seeing his big moments in his career, was cool. And now he's over here giving our heavy stock cars a shot. So I'm excited to see how it goes. I think once he gets used to some of the things that are unique to stock car racing, once he gets used to that, I think the rest is going to come pretty naturally to him. The speeds of our cars won't scare him. You know, draft, he's already got a pretty good feel for, I'd imagine, from his stuff over there. So, yeah, and obviously he's ran here a lot, obviously in the 24, but still it's laps around this racetrack getting used to the bumps and the feel of the place.
Seems like when we come to Daytona, it's like, well, it's Daytona. You never know what's going to happen. When you walk in, is your feeling any different this year? Lots been going on with you.
I think, I mean, we started the speed weeks off pretty good last year. The race didn't get the end result that we wanted, but I've never really had the end result I've wanted here to begin with. So we just stick to... we think our keys to success are going to be, and if we execute those throughout the race, we should have a higher likelihood of finishing this race. I think I've only got through that once, and I only did that 40 laps down. So, yes, I'd like to run good, finish good in this race, but we haven't been a part of the equation in any of the events that I've ran here at the end. Yeah, I mean, it's race weekend. It's our biggest race of the year. That's all off the side, just strictly thinking about driving this race car and how we can have the best weekend possible.
Thanks.
Now, when at Talladega last year, does that make it any more fun to come to these type of super speedway tracks, or is it kind of the same as it's been for
your track? I think... we've done a better job of understanding what the keys are to running well and having that shot to win the race. It's only happened once, 1.5 times, I guess, if you count the duel here. So we know what we need to do, but to have all those things fall into place in one race and not have any mistakes, it's a difficult thing to do. So certainly it feels more fun from that aspect, like we know what we need to do. It's still just a hard thing to do. And over the course of 500 miles to have that perfect day, if you will, where everything goes to plan so you can have the track position at the end.
You tasting the championship last year, obviously being the final awards, and going into this year compared to last year in February, do you have any different things circled going into this year? Like, okay, I know what, you know, we did here, let's do this better this year. Obviously, all set the championship.
Yeah, it's not crazy different. You know, I think the things that we needed to improve last year were the right things to focus on, and I don't feel like our focus or our keys to being good this year have really changed too much. It feels like we got to keep just working on the same things that we prioritized a lot and improved last year with. We just got to keep going further in those same areas.
So
how important is it to keep that presence in Southern California? And will it be sort of strange not going to
I mean, in my opinion, it is. But trying to figure out where we're going to race is the challenging part. I think there's options, but for as of right now and all the other changes that have taken place, it's not been the top priority. So we'll see if we get back. I hope we do. I think there's some places we could race, but certainly for our cars and what NASCAR is about, Fontana was a great home for us. So to see that go away was tough, but I think we have some, temporary homes that we can find in the LA area to race at, and hopefully that happens. I'd like to see that happen. Well, I mean, Long Beach would be awesome. I mean, that's the easiest one I know. Well, in my mind, that's the easiest one. I know that, the streets can only be closed for so long, all that sort of stuff, and IndyCar's really, has had that for a long time. I would really enjoy that. We've been able to work together schedule-wise in the past. I don't believe this year we're going to, as far as I know, but I would love for that to be a possibility. But who knows where else it could be. It seems like every track I think of, just they keep closing down. So hopefully we find a solution. It was a good year. We did a lot of things right in the summer. We had to survive. Survive is not the right word. We had to overcome a lot of incidents, a lot of blockades, if you will, that could have kept us from advancing, could have kept us from getting to Phoenix with a chance to compete. But we did a good job overcoming that each step of the way. It was a pretty rocky road that we had to take through the playoffs. So to be able to overcome that was good, especially when you look at how everything kind of just fell our way in the regular season. When things finally didn't go our way, we didn't fold up. We welcomed the pressure. So, yeah, it was a really good year for me as a driver. We won a number of races. We let some get away for sure, but the things the wins were great, but I think the days outside of the wins were more of what made that season be so great as it was. Just the consistency that we showed over long periods of the season. Correct.
As a driver, how does that affect the mindset, knowing that you have not a new team, but newer guys to the team?
I think mindset, I don't know if it changes my mindset, to be honest. What I need to do getting into the box and out of the box to tie all that together remains the same. Certainly, as we get the in-race reps, if you will, I think some of their, each individual's tendencies might be a little bit different. What they're wanting to see me do with my car coming in the box might be a little different. With time, that'll just tell. But as far as I know, as of right now, how I get into the box, get out of the box, placement, car placement, and all that sort of stuff, I don't feel like it's really changed. But excited to see how the new members do. The entire group seems like they're gelling well. So we'll see how the performance is. Yeah, it's been really great. Dating back all the way to, my days of running a part-time schedule in Xfinity to, winning at Kentucky, which helped get me over to Junior Motorsports. The moments that I had in the Xfinity series was kind of in that make or break part of my career where if I didn't perform on that level, I wasn't going to get an opportunity on the Cup side. So I was able to do some really special things in that series, and it's just been great to continue to build their relationship with 2311 and get to continue the relationships that were already formed, if you will, dating back to when I ran the Xfinity series.
Riley's coming right out of the Xfinity series, just like you did a number of years ago. How much did you pay attention to what his growth over these last few years, and what do you see in him going into his first Cup year?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember even racing against him when I was on the tail end of my Xfinity career. But yeah, it just seemed like really this year, in particular, this past year, excuse me, you know, like light switch went off, things started to click for him. You know, his crew chief, Davin, I worked with him back in my Xfinity days. He was my engineer on the 42 Chip Ganassi Racing car that I ran. So I knew that he had a good one there. And so to see their relationship grow and get to the point where they were winning races and performing and running really, really well, you know, it seemed like things were starting to really click for him. So it seems like him and Davin's relationship is in a really good place. And I've never worked with Riley as a teammate. We had, you know, a relationship through Monster Energy, as Monster Energy athletes. But yeah, getting to work with him in house now has been cool, and getting to understand his approach, his involvement. I feel like I was at the shop a lot, but I think Riley's got me beat there. So he's definitely around and clued into what's going on.
Are there certain things that Dylan or other people at Monster did for you when you joined the Cup Series full time that maybe you learned that you want to make sure Riley gets the experience?
Well, I think everyone's a little different. You know, for me, you know, I had a lot of great people around me that were helping me. You know, I had my teammates to lean on at the time when I began racing in Cup. But I also had, you know, a great cast of people that I was working with at the time too that helped paint the picture for me. So I feel like a lot of the work that's gone into improving our race preparation, maximizing it, if you will, now, we've got good people that do that at 2311. And so I feel like we got a really good starting foundation for Riley. Kind of just, you know, seeing what he's comfortable with, how much he's doing before I really give him, you know, my opinion, right? So it seems like he's doing the right things right now. And obviously as a teammate, I'm always there to, as any teammate would be, to give feedback if necessary. But I think he's doing a really good job right from the get-go on, in my perspective. I don't know if it, in some ways it does, but I think it's just, you know, personnel swapping around, moving around, you know, it takes time to get used to, or understand that, you know, the characteristics, personalities of different individuals. So I'd say the flow of our meeting isn't really changed much or how we go about that. It's just getting to know the new people and kind of, you know, understand what their characteristics are, is I guess the biggest thing. So it seems like it'll be good, but I mean, the clash was so bang bang with the group practices. I feel like this weekend will be a good, give us a good understanding of what that's going to look like. But from my perspective, it seems like it's flowing pretty well. Like the three crew chiefs are interacting and getting along well. You know, the engineering side seems like it's going good. So time will tell, but it seems like it's going as good as you would hope. Yeah, certainly. You know, all the manufacturers work with, you know, with their own. So, yeah, just the more numbers we have is going to help that. You know, it's just going to allow us to hopefully do what we want to do more so than just having to respond to what's happening around us. So we'll see how that all plays out. Obviously, it would be great if all the Toyotas can make the race. But, you know, there's a lot that's going to happen tonight and tomorrow night. I feel like, I don't know if anyone's under the radar. I feel like everyone's got a pretty good understanding of how to drive these cars now. It's just whose strategy plays out the best. I don't know if any one driver or car is going to be good enough to just go to the front and win this race. So I don't think there's, you know, any ringers or any drivers that are, you know, underdogs, I guess. It's just whoever has the best strategy. And whoever, you know, caution's falling Caution's falling at the wrong time. All those things can kind of unravel your day. It just falls on whoever gets it right.
So with that said, what are the things that you can control come race time or leading up to race?
I think if you have a plan and a strategy, you just stick to it. Obviously, we'll try to pick the one that has the highest probability of working out, and we'll just try to stick to our game plan throughout the race, and hopefully that it's a good game plan and gets us to the front.
You almost had a championship last year. How much emphasis has there been to start the season off good points-wise compared to going and committing to chasing just the winning kind of points and back to
winning? Yeah, I mean, I think every year I've ran Cup, we've gotten past race two or three and been in the high 20s or low 30s in points. A lot of that's because I can't seemingly finish a race here on the lead lap in the 500. And now that we have Atlanta, I think Atlanta last year we wrecked on lap two there too. So we just have a tendency to not get out of the first three races with a lot of points, and it kind of gets us behind. And it's only three races, but when you get down 160 to 100 points in the first two races to some of the guys you're going to be competing against all year long, it can take 8-9 races to close that margin back up. So I think a small little objective of ours is going to be to just have a good start to the year this year. That would be great to not start in the hole. That way it's not such a looming task, and we don't have to spend so much time over the summer trying to close that gap back up. I mean, there's a lot of things, but I think for our relationship, his how he structures things, he's an organized individual. He does a good job of balancing the work and home life as well. I think all around a good individual. It takes someone like that to be a leader, to set a good example for the rest of the individuals on our team. Those are ones that come to mind. And then just as we spent more time together, he understands what I say, even if he can't picture perfect, crystal clear, understand the words, and that just comes with time. So, all around, like, he puts in the effort, he works really, really hard, and I think all that with all the other reasons is why he's very successful. I'll pass. I have nothing good to say about it, so we'll see. Hopefully it races good. I mean, caution laps will take less time. I think that's all that's really gonna change. I hope it helps the racing, but I just don't see how it does. But I hope we have a great race. I love going to COTA. If we're taking steps to make sure that we keep a race at COTA, then okay, I'm all for it. But I know we had issues with turn 9 there in the past, with the dirt and everything. But two of our best braking zones, going away is a tough thing. But above all else, as long as we keep going to COTA, however, whatever layout we run, I'm all for. I think it's a great place. The fans, the atmosphere of that. Of where we when we go there is fun, and I enjoy going there. So whatever it takes, keep it on schedule.
Do you think taking out braking zones kind of homogenizes it for the guys that aren't as skilled on a road course?
No, I feel like everyone's getting really everyone's closed together on that. It's not necessarily that. It's just the big braking zones can take a toll on the tires. If you the direction we've been going with this car, it's easier to make mistakes in the braking zones, and it's an opportunity to tear your tires up or make a pass. So I was just bummed to see two of the three big braking zones we have there go away. Yeah, I think I handled that well. I mean, for us, we didn't have the clean start the weekend we wanted, but I feel like we pretty much got everything we could out of our car by the race end, and we still just didn't quite have enough. So, yes, that means we got to bring a better all-around car that just runs longer into the run as good as the Penske cars do. So I feel like all in all, I walked away from it like, yeah, it's a bummer we didn't get the result we wanted, but I feel like we did everything we could with our day. So obviously we have something we know that we can improve, that we have to get better. And then on the Xfinity side, right, you know, I had to switch teams and figure it all out again. So I wouldn't say it's a whole lot different than what that was like. We'll just take advantage of the race we have in the spring, see if we can learn some stuff at the test, and hopefully we have a good sense of direction of what we need to improve when we return at the end of the year.
Can Michael bring Jordan bring eyeballs to NASCAR event?
Can he? Yeah. Yeah.
Think he is going?
Yes.
Is that something the sport needs?
I can't hurt. Yeah, I mean, when I feel like it's impacted, you know, the race fans, those working in the sport, you know, the fans that are passionate about Jordan Brand and Michael Jordan, you know, show out in their Jordan Brand gear. The amount of Jordan Brand diecasts, Jordan Brand Toyota Camrys that I've signed over the last couple of years, people love collecting those just like they do the shoes. So yeah, I think it's really cool to see that crossover just continuing to take place each and every weekend.
What's your mindset coming into this year? You're 3-22-11, obviously you're able to get the regular season championship last year. Where were you mentally coming into the 2024 season, and how does that make us compare and contrast coming into this year?
I think overall we just have a little bit higher confidence. I mean, we're starting from ground zero again, everybody is, but it seemed like a lot of things that we did well really came to us over the year, especially in the summer. 2024 me to 2025 me doesn't feel a whole lot different. We know, you know, the things that we know that we need to improve kind of remaining the similar. We just want to make them a step better than we did last year, so doesn't feel like a whole lot's different other than just the year on the calendar.
Obviously, Charles, over there with the 2022 I know how closely everyone works together at the 2022. Have you had any interactions with Charles? Have you been able to notice any differences since he's gotten there or gotten himself integrated into the system?
Yeah, him and Booty are definitely, you know, different in how they do things. You know, I'm still working with Billy, so I wouldn't say I have spent a lot of time with Charles one-on-one, but yeah, just getting used to his approach, how he looks at things, and seeing how all that fills in. You know, Charles also kind of taking on a role of running some of the meetings we have too, so yeah, just learning and getting to know him as a person. Obviously when we grow from 2 to 3, you know, some of the responsibilities shift around on the competition side when in regards to race preparation and who's doing what with the cars, you know, on down the command chain, if you will. So just getting used to how that feels and operates is the bigger thing right now. But I mean, we're one race in, right? But it seems like it's going well. What stands out about it? Wrecking into Jimmy Johnson coming to pit road, that's pretty much it. I remember coming to pit road and someone behind us didn't check up or didn't mean to get down there behind us and did and ran me over, lifted my rear tires off the ground, not go sliding into Jimmy. We crashed on the pit road before we even make our first green flag pit stop. So that was not how you want to start your cup career.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there was something not out of your control. Did you, as somebody new, did you try to reach out to him?
No, you know, we may have talked about it at some point down the line, but I feel like that's a situation, you know, he's done this a long time. He's been in those spots. I think he knew that it was just collateral damage at that point. It's not how you want to start your cup career, but that's just how it started for me. Yeah, it was really cool to see, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, is when you know, I'm year 5 or whatever I am into this, you know, that I'm looking at that picture because I'm imagining people in the stands, you know, when I was here in 2020, just all the people in the stands, the long morning you have and all the things you're doing pre-race before the 500. It's really cool. There's just so much going on versus what you're used to on the truck side or the Xfinity side. So you know, we did the intros and go across the stage, do the parade lap in the back of a pickup truck. You just see all the people in the stands and just the atmosphere of that event. It was a really cool moment to experience.
You mentioned Jimmy, and he's kind of filtered out. And, you know, Denny's still has major star power. Kyle, you know, has been doing it 20 years. What's the key for this, your generation, and maybe some younger drivers to come and seize that man or become the next, like, you know, household?
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's just going to be tricky. It's, I don't know, I didn't compete in that era, but, you know, you'd see certain drivers, right, have career years where they'd, you know, I think the last person that we've seen do it was Larson in, I think it was 2021. You just don't see people pop off and have years like that where they win 10 races, you know, lead so many laps and do all these things. And I think a large part of that is just where this car is at. The box that we're all operating just gets smaller and smaller the more that we learn about this car. Unless there's drastic changes, that box will just continue to get smaller, and it's just going to get harder and harder to have those kinds of years and dominate like that just because the competition is so close.
I think that
plays into it. It's not the reason, but that's a reason, I think.
Denny was mentioning me, he like played basketball with some dude, and he's an agent. His player, he's a high school player with like an Instagram following better than Denny's, and he's like, whoa, come on, what's going on? And so he was kind of like, there's got to be a way to get more eyeballs in the sport. Do you think it comes down to just...
That could be a reason too, right? You know, at one time, just with where the world was at, the eyeballs on TV and the internet kind of being in its infancy, you know, the driver star power was in a different place. And now the world that we're in, you know, if anyone is putting out really entertaining, good confident anybody or content, anybody can have that star power. You don't have to be an athlete or, you know, a celebrity. You can just be a person that finds your little window, right? And do something cool that not a lot of people have seen or know how to do. And people will be interested and follow you. So watching that change and grow and go that path is interesting. Obviously what we do is a pretty interesting and it's a hard thing for most people to do. I think we'll continue to try and find ways to get ourselves out there to the people in the world of social media. Well, I certainly think, you know, the more Toyotas we have in the race are going to help us. So it just depends on how the race plays out. You know, in a lot of those deals, it's kind of they're racing head to head further back in the pack sometimes in those situations. But obviously, just like the other manufacturers, we always want to help our own out first. So I can't say that that's the game plan, but you just never know. You find yourself in that spot if you're around a fellow Toyota, it's just an instinct that every driver has. They're going to push their own manufacturer first.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I don't know what to do with that.